Pyamanina, considering himself the Supreme Lord, independent of everything. Translation, alas, just see the behavior of this cruel man. He is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Being proud of his material opulence and his position, he considers himself God. Just see how he has transgressed the laws of religion. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has diverted the entire meaning of this verse as spoken by Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni used the word Nri Shamshasya to indicate that the king was cruel, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur interprets it to mean that the king's character was glorified by all the local people. He says the word Nri means by all local people, and Shamshasya means of he, Ambarish, whose character was glorified. Similarly, one who is very rich becomes mad because of his wealth and is therefore called Shriya Unmattasya. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur interprets these words to mean that although Maharaj Ambarish was such an opulent king, he was not mad after money, for he had already surpassed the madness of material opulence. Similarly, the word Ishamanina is interpreted to mean that he was so respectful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he did not transgress the laws for observing Ekadashi Parana, despite the thinking of Durvasa Muni, for he only took water. In this way, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has supported Ambarish Maharaj and all his activities. Om Gyanat Manandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militang Jainatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Sthapitan Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadam Mahyam Dadati Sabadantikam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Deva Chapati Tanam Pavani Go Vaishnavi Go Namo Namaha Aho Asya Nishangshasya Shriyan Matasya Pasyata Dhanama Vyati Kramam Vishnu Abhaktasya Shamanina. So in every line here, Durvasa Muni is condemned our great saintly king Ambarish Maharaj, although he himself is not only a big fault finder, he's actually quite a, in contrast to many of the saintly persons that we see in Bhagavatam, aside from Ambarish Maharaj, he doesn't possess very much patience. He's a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva, and we know that Lord Shiva is Oshutosh, and Durvasa Muni is more than Oshutosh. Means that he's quickly pleased sometimes, but he's very quickly brought to the angry platform with Durvasa. He's famous for this. In fact, there's a tape, and Prabhupada is speaking, and he says, who is that sage? Becomes very angry very easily. He wasn't remembering the name, but everyone immediately said, Durvasa. So, because it's not that these are two Vaishnavas. No. In this case, Durvasa Muni, he's an impersonalist mystic, and the contrast of the two persons, two great personalities here, Durvasa, Ambarish, is to show, and it's repeated throughout Bhagavatam, throughout, and Prabhupada giving so many classes, that Durvasa Muni was insignificant. He was intolerant, and Ambarish was very tolerant, even when Durvasa Muni was chased by the Sudarsan Chakra, how Ambarish stayed in one place, waiting humbly. Here we see Kritanjali in one of these verses. He was with hands folded. So he drank a little water. I mean, come on, give me a break. He drank a little water. And so it said here in that one, in the one verse, that he was standing there very nicely. But this guy with his mystic power, so he had mystic power. So what? And many times you read in the Bhagavatam, these great devotees like Ritrasura, Ranti Dei, in many places, Nasiddha Mukya, they don't care for the eight mystic cities, they don't care for liberation, none of these things. So Vishwanath Chakravarti, a great acharya in our line, has taken every single line here and shown how he's completely bogus. It's actually meant more like to describe Durvasa Muni himself. This is what's going on in the material world. People are mad, as it says here. Cruel, Nrisangshashya, they're obviously cruel. The material world's full of cruel. Jiva Jivasya Jivanam. Whether or not they're purposely cruel, or they're just neglectfully cruel, as Duipad, Pashu, two-legged animals. And nothing but trying to get ahead of the next guy, somehow or other. So the second line, Shriyan Matasya Pasyata, just the Apasyatam, Atmatatvam. In the second canto, it's described, Tesham Pramata Nidhanam Pashana Pina Pasyati. In this material world, everyone is Mata, Pramata. There's Mata, Unmata, or Pramata and Unmata. Three stages. Generally in the material world, people are mata, or neglectful, or a little mad, and they become pramata and unmata, unmata, pramata, taisham pramata nidhanam, intoxicated, crazy, and finally just, that's the material world. And they don't see it. Taisham pramata, this is Sukadeva Goswami speaking. Deha pate kalatradishu. Everyone is an illusion with their so-called family life. Deha pate kalatradishu atma sainesha. And they're fallible soldiers. And Sukadeva Goswami is explaining there in the beginning, they're all mad, crazy. So, as a description of Lord Chaitanya, that Lord Chaitanya has come to relieve the material people of the three worlds of their madness. Dayalor, by his mercy, yoganamatam bhuvanam dayalor. They're mad by speculating, by mad by fruit of activities, by yoga processes. All these things are mad. And whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing, he's also making us mad. So in that verse, description by Kaviraj Goswami, ganamatam, meaning they're mad with gan. Specifically, but it's also just any mental activity. Not that everyone's a gani, not necessarily. They're actually mostly very foolish. Bhuvanam dayalor. Ulagayan apya karo pramatam. Ulagayan means he's subduing this type of madness all over the world. Vasikrita jaga. He can control everyone's mind. If one simply brings his mind to the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, then he will be relieved in this anxiety, this madness in the material world. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says himself, Nachau Gai, Bhakta Sangi, Koro Sankrita, Mada Mata, Nachau Gai, Hasi. One should become laughing, Hasi Gai. By taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message, one becomes mad. Either by laughing or further rolling on the ground. Rupa Goswami, he was one of the great madmen of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya himself said, I'm a madman. And I'm very sorry. He was speaking with Sanatana Goswami. Somehow I've been maddened. And I'm very sorry that I wasn't able to speak exactly what you asked me. But maybe you'll become mad also. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually mad as a householder, when he was first came back from Gaya, they put him in a big tub of oil, thinking that he'd be some life heirs, you know, some different Ayurvedic, different Bhattacharyas came from around Navadvipa. He said, well, I think he might be crazy or something. So finally, Shivas Thakur came to Sachimata's house, and Mahaprabhu was submerged in oil. So many things, they're trying to help his madness. So Shivas Thakur came and said, Mata Sachi, you know, he is mad, but whatever madness is, I hope I can get it too. I think everyone should get it. So Chaitanya was the most mad, and he quoted so many verses about that too. He was speaking with Prakashananda. Prakashananda was also Ganamatam. He was a staunch Ganamatam, maddened with speculation. This is the Mayavadis. They're simply thinking, 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 thinking. And ultimately they have to go back to fruitive activities also. So that Prakashananda Saraswati, he spoke to him, Mahaprabhu, quoted from the Bhagavatam, Evam Vrata, Supriyanamakirtya, one should take a vow to become mad with love of God. Jatana Raga Druta Chitu Chai. Gayatun Maravan. He said, I don't know what to say, because Prakashananda said, why do you go with all these madmen? You're such a brilliant pundit. Everyone knows all over India he's famous. But somehow you're going with all these crazy people. Well, we don't understand that. Why is that? He said, well, you didn't notice it, but I am actually the best of all these madmen. I'm actually instructing them in the madness, and now I'll capture you also. So they were very captivated. They said, somehow we're seeing you. We're seeing Narayan. They were seeing Narayan. So Chaitanya was acting very humbly, just as Ambarish was. Kritanjali are folding his hands. He wouldn't even come in their association. He was standing outside. Finally, one of Prakashananda's men came and dragged him out. And said, what do you drag him inside the room? And he said, why are you standing out here? Are you lamenting and something wrong with you? This is where we wash our feet. So he pulled him in. And then they began to question him about all these things. Why is he going with all these madmen? So this is the goal, even Prabhupada would say sometimes, to become mad, love of God. And he's talked about the bums in the Bowery. Prabhupada would see the bums. And he'd come and wipe your windshield, and they want a few cents to get a bottle of wine. And Prabhupada said, we should become as determined as these winos, these bums, that they need to get a dollar to get another bottle of whatever that stuff is, cheap wine. They're so intoxicated, so addicted to their intoxication. So we have to see that. So many examples, so many gurus. So the bums are our gurus, just like the 24, 5, 6 gurus that are given by Krishna in the Uddhava Gita. The wind and so many things, the detachment, how to become. The prostitute is our guru. So we probably took it that the bum is like should be like our guru. If he just gets a little more, he'll be happy. So we just want a little more of the holy name to become more and more intoxicated. Because we know that there's only waiting for us is Maya's intoxication, which increases our attachment in this material world. Tesham pramata nidana pashana pina pasha. They don't see it. Actually, well, we're in a great line of people who are mata, mad. Sukadev Goswami, in the beginning in first canto, has described that these sages, they were asking. There's Sonika Rishi, and he's questioning Suta Goswami. He's asking them, what about this Sukadev? You heard this whole Bhagavatam, but how is it we understand that he was something, Mata, Jadavad? Yes. And he described, yes, he acted as though stunted. And throughout the Bhagavatam, we see that there's Jad Bharat, even Rishabdev, even though he was still in family life, he withdrew from everything and acted mad. The word is used, unmata. Mad, actually. Totally mad. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti giving this explanation is very, very intelligent. And he's taken everything as it should be. So another thing he's interpreting or understanding or giving us, Dharma Vyati Kramam Vishnur. Dharma, the transgression. Now imagine this tiny little fault, so-called fault, which is not really a fault. Prabhupada describes it, even according to Smriti Smarta regulation, if you take water, it's fasting and not fasting, you can take water. Of course, if you're strictly doing nirjal, you might, but if you just take a little water, so, but by his mystic power, so all of his mystic powers, this is like the vulture that has very good eyesight, and he's probably said flying 8 miles high, but what's he finding? Just a dead body. Sakuna abasapi goro namari. He's cursing a cow also, even if the cow is still alive, the cow will hope that cow dies, I can eat it. Ugh. So this is the position of a Durvasa. He's acting like a perfect rascal. But he's accusing this great saintly King Ambarish of being, you know, because he drank some water. He was just waiting to find some fault. Why couldn't he just sit down and eat and take prasadam? Couldn't do that. Simple thing. No, cursed him, immediately produced a big fire, crazy demon to try to kill, destroy. Oh, now you're going to get the results, he says in the very next part of the story. And he creates this huge, I mean, come on, this guy's just drinking some water, and he's going to try to kill him. Not a very nice thing. So he is Dharmavatikaram. He is not really that Ambarisha's Dharmavatikaram. His Vatikaram, transgression, this was said in the beginning of the Bhagavatam also. A lot of things are set, the stage is set in the first canon. Paravra Gyasa Rishi, Dharmavatikaram, that it was described that Vyasadeva could see the Dharmavatikaram. He could see what was coming, how the transgression of Dharma. He wasn't referring to Ambarish, of course. Rather, we see different examples of Dharmavatikaram, like in the fourth canto when this Prithu Maharaj was doing so many horse sacrifices. He did 99, he was about to do the 100th. So Indra became, now Indra is the sum total of demigods, just, you know, but he became very an anxiety that this Prithu Maharaj is going to now do 100. This isn't good. He got very uptight. So he took the garb of a sannyasi and he snuck in and he took the horse away. So that, you know, a couple times he did this kind of stuff. So finally, Prithu, the brahmanas, they said, look, we'll just catch this Indra. They told Prithu Maharaj, we'll catch Indra and we'll just smash him, we'll kill him. And then Brahma appeared and said, you don't want to do that, because he's the sum total of demigods. You're doing this yajna for the demigods also, and you're not going to, that's not a good thing. You know, he's already doing, it's described, Dharma Vyatikaram. He's creating this, the scene for like Kali Yuga, where so many bogus swamis will come, appear, and now if you again agitate him, he'll create more Dharma Vyatikaram in the future. Better you just leave things and just roll with it and let him slide. Don't do 100 sacrifices. And then Vishnu came and everyone kind of made up. They're all very apologetic. But all this damage had been done. This Vyatikaram was created by Indra. So there's another part of the Bhagavatam in the sixth canto where Lord Shiva, Chitraketa was cursed by Parvati, and it was supposed to be some, and then he became a big demon and became the Vitrasura. So this Lord Shiva there describes also the Dharma Vatikaram, and he says, he uses this word also, Isha Manina. Lord Shiva says, we're thinking that we're Isha, we're not Isha. As Ambarish is being accused of thinking he's the Supreme Personality. He was worshipping the Supreme Personality of God very humbly every day, all day. He's the best example of a pure devotee performing all nine processes. And here is this great mystic, so-called yogi, Dorbasa, he's accusing him of Dharma. So just see the irony playing out. The great contrast between this mystic sage and how he cannot tolerate being upstaged by this pure devotee. Yeah. And therefore, Ish, this word is also used in reference to Avashuddha Buddhaya, the Mayavadis. They are Vimukto Manina. Thinking. Manina means they're thinking they're liberated, but they're Avashuddha Buddhaya. They're not actually pure. So, same thing with Dorvasa. He's some kind of Mayavadi, and he's also Vimukto Manina. He's thinking he's liberated. Actually, Ambarish is liberated. He thinks he's liberated. So this is very nice that Vishwanath Chakravarti bringing these contrasts out. Abhaktasyesha manina. He's claiming also that he's not a bhakta. He's not a bhakta. He is a bhakta, this Durvatsa. It was already said that he went to Jamuna, and he's in the Jamuna, but he's thinking of the impersonal Brahman. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he was very entertained so many times, there's so many so-called great devotees. He went to one person's house, and on the wall, it was written, you know, sometimes they write stuff on the wall, like Jai Radhe. So, on this, apparently on this man's wall, it said, Prabhu, Prabhu. So Prabhupada asked the man, who is the Prabhu? What does this mean, Prabhu? He said, I don't really know. So Prabhupada said, just see the fun. He's in Vrindavan. Krishna is the Prabhu. He's the master. And he doesn't know who is Krishna. So Prabhupada thought it was very funny. He thought it was very entertaining. And Prabhupada also had said that although we're in Vrindavan, one shouldn't be naive. Just like when Yamuna came one time. Early in the morning, she first came to Vrindavan, and she came in the dark to Mangalarti, to the Radha Damodar temple, from where she was staying. And Prabhupada said, oh, you have come in the dark? They'll kill you for a lota in this quarter. So Prabhupada was paravaragya. He was also like Vyasadeva. He could understand a dharma, adharma, like that. Not fooled that, okay, we're in Vrindavan, everyone is pure devotee. No, there are people there who kill you for a lota, no less. Prabhupada's statement. Overrun with Mayavadis, rogues and rascals. So it's very nice we can have that vision if we're Mahabhagavats, that everyone is pure devotee, and very nice. But still in Vrindavan, sometimes they don't know who is Krishna. They come there for some other reason. It's a holy place or this, or they can make money stealing, like, you know, robbing people, breaking into their houses. And they do like that. There's many dacoits. We hear about it all the time. So one shouldn't be fooled like that also. And it apparently Durvasa Muni was by his own Isha Manina, thinking he's, or Vimukta Manina, Artha Manina, Bahir Artha Manina, also one thing. One is running after this material world, after so many material things. So it's very nice. Vishwanath Chakravarti is our great acharya. And many times he has brought out the actual meaning of the verses. Many times. And Prabhupada is acknowledging it in all, so many times, especially when you get into 10th canon, 11th canon. Many times Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the most wonderful explanations for the Vaishnavas. He wants to please the Vaishnavas. Of course, Durvasa Muni has other pastimes. I mean, he blessed Radharani, and you can't take him as a complete demon. You see him this way. But in this pastime, he's acting in a very demoniac way, just like Indra acted in a demoniac way, Brahma. And Brahma, we don't think of him as a demon. But sometimes they perform less than perfect activities. And it says here, similarly, the word Isha Manina is interpreted to mean he was so respectful to the personality of Godhead. So Ambarish was so respectful. And Durvasa's words are being tossed back at him. He was observing the Ekadasi upon. He just wanted to break the Ekadasi properly. Because if you don't break it properly, then you very bad. You get a bad opposite result. I mean, we also break it with grain, but he did this. He took some water. This way, Vishwanath Chakravarti has supported Ambarish Maharaj and all his activities. So, very nice. If there's any comments, questions?
Is this on? Hello? About Mayavadis residing in Vrindavan. Prabhupada always said, do not listen to Mayavadis. Don't even listen to them. Quoting Sanskrit, the sound vibration is, don't even listen to them chanting Hare Krishna. I was invited to see some big Mayavadi Baba. They like to come to Vrindavan to erase Krishna. You know? And so he looks at me and he goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. It was the first time I ever wanted to tell someone, stop chanting Hare Krishna. It sounded so offensive, just that vibration. And they said, to ask him a question. I said, I have no question. I said, no, if I ask a question, he'll start talking. Yeah. No, try to ask some questions. And I have no question. Yeah, he didn't like that. He had to go into the void to escape that.
Mona. Asking, can he practice Mona? But in this verse here, reminding me that in the present time, there's people that study the psychic movements called psychologists, and they could say that this Durvasa Muni was practicing projection. He was projecting his own situation, and they had this one where they hold a mirror up in front of you, that while you're talking, in the middle of the talk and the other person just holds the mirror up and says to finish what you're saying. And I thought that would have been cute. But there's also one other saying that sometimes is quite challenging. It says that you're not known by what others say of who you are. He says, you're known by what you say about others. You're not known by what you say about others. You're known by what
you just
you
said
say
it.
To, about others.
You know? Tripped yourself up.
Yeah, that's not right.
We'll play it, splice it, and edit and play it back.
Excuse me?
Yeah, we'll splice it, edit it, and play it back. Here's the mirror. He's got the mirror. You need a tape recorder as well as a mirror and webcam. Anything else? Pass the ice cream cone or the microphone.
Bava Grah, Janarda, figures it out.
Anything over here?
It seems like Dharasa Muni is a perfect example of the person who performs austerities and then their heart becomes hard, because it seems so almost like hard to believe that someone could be so upset about someone drinking water. And it just seems it's like a manifestation of, you know, a hard heart and great envy.
Speaking of the word unmata, because when Judd Bharat went around without saying anything all over the wherever he was walking, and he was carrying a palanquin of he was unmata, he was mad. He was described as crazy, or no one ever heard him talk, and then, you know, he didn't say anything, and they just picked him up. First he was almost killed, but of course Durga saved him. But then these palanquin bearers from Rahugana, they said, oh, here's a strong guy. They picked him up, he's carrying the palanquin. Then he was jumping around, he wouldn't even step on ants. And then the king was becoming very agitated. He said, what's going on? Why is my palanquin all jumping around like that? And they said, it's not us, sir. With this new guy we just got, he's jumping all over the place. We don't know what's the matter with him. So then he started chastising him. What's the matter with you, you idiot? You're big and what's the matter? You're not strong enough? Because he was very big and strong. He started saying all these sarcastic things. Finally, Judd Bharat said, whatever you said, that's okay, but I just want to say one thing here. And then he started giving him all these wonderful instructions. He said, you have said that I'm not strong. That's fact, because I'm not the body, neither of you. You think you're a king, but actually, you know, these legs, these arms, whatever both of us have, they're nothing more than earth, fire, water. Giving these wonderful explanations. And the king, he after hearing a little, he got off his thing and he said, I am not afraid of even offending Lord Shiva or Lord Indra or Yama, none of these things. I'm not afraid of the scorching sun or the wind, the moon, anything, but I am afraid of offending you. You're obviously a great soul. So, although he was acting mad, as it's described, or being accused of Ambarish Maharaj, see the difference, that when Rahugana heard the instructions, he became very humble. He didn't start cursing, oh yeah, I'm angry. He realized he had no power to do anything. It's a very wonderful story that Rahuganai Tata Pasaniyati Nacheja Nirvipanadito. He said, my dear Rahugana, by doing so many things, standing in ice water or blazing sun or performing perfectly any of your varnashram duties, none of these ways, only by taking the dust, rolling in the dust of the pure devotee can you be liberated. But somehow or other, that message didn't trickle down to Durvasa in the ninth canto. He probably should have been listening to the fifth canto, fourth canto. Huh?
You know that?
Suptam balam striyam, like that, that one? That's from the first canto. That one should not attack someone, because this was another pastime with Ashwatthama. And he had killed the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. And he completely transgressed. He was Dharma Vyatikaram all the way, 100%, 1,000%. He killed his five sleeping innocent boys. First of all, you don't kill someone who's a little mad, mata unmata pramatam, or intoxicated, and who's sleeping, who's a boy. All these things they were. They weren't mad, but they were sleeping, they were boys. Or if they have no chariot, or they're afraid, then they're not your enemy. So, is that what you're referring to? But what are you going to say about it? Pramata unmata pramatam. Very nice verse. Matta, pramata unmatam. All three are given in that verse in the first canto. Seventh chapter. Very nice. Okay, anything else?
Yes, Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Since we're discussing this unmata, this madness, it seems as though there must be some formula for getting this madness. Can we maybe touch on one of these possible ways of getting this madness, because it seems to be a desirable
it's a medicine
state of mind.
It's Osho. You remember that story of Prabhupada's godbrother came to Prabhupada in Ahmedabad? Or was it Allahabad? No? Prayag Pharmacy? And it was Prabhupada's godbrother, Adi Keshava, and he said, do you have that medicine that I can become like you? And Prabhupada said, yes, that is Trinadapi Samichena. Right? Was that the medicine? What was it? Huh? There was a lady named Pramada, and that's similar, like when a girl drives you crazy, drives men crazy, they're called Pramada. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. In the material world, it's described by Rishabde that everyone is mad after sense gratification. Nunam, certainly. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. And as a result, they're doing all kind of vikarma. Jati krama, adharma. So Bhagavatam is establishing dharma. Dharma, the real dharma. Savai pungsam paro dharma. So the examples are given how the contrast is given, dharma, the pure dharma, like Ambarish, and the adharma of this Durvasa, or Indra, various ways. The dharma is established over and over throughout these stories. They seem like very nice stories, but they're wonderful, wonderful lessons to be learned. Prabhupada said, you should see the lesson to be learned. Sometimes the devotee would ask a question about, well, the Shastra says this, says that. To just take the essence of the Shastra, what to be learned. Not chronological, don't worry. Well, this happened. How did so-and-so get to be so-and-so's brother if this happened? That's not the main thing. That's just something you may not understand. But the main idea is that we see the example of Ambarish Maharaj. He was mad with love of God. Yes, unmata.
You mentioned Judd Bharat as one of the madmen, and I was thinking also his father had taken that vow too.
Rishabh.
Yeah, Judd, at the end he was Judd, he traveled around like that. And then sometimes Prahlad's also referred to as Judd.
Right.
So this humility, where it says not being anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others, after a while, you're released from the social responsibility of integrating like that, and it appears that one's mad because he's relating always to Krishna in the situation. So many times Prabhupada would be asked a question and then he'd answer the question and the person would think, I asked a different question than you gave the answer to. You know, he didn't understand how that answer went with that question. So sometimes there's the divide gets larger where...
What gets larger? Divide?
The difference between what would be the correct answer in a socially fruitative context and the devotional answer that gives pleasure to Krishna.
Just like this explanation of Vishnu.
Right. Quite a bit.
It's quite different than what somebody might... Well, we read it, but we know anyone with any intelligence knows that Durvasa is a rascal, acting like a rascal.
Well, that's why there's that verse 320.
He wasn't ready to hear anything, just like Rahugana was ready to hear. Arjuna was ready to hear, but he wasn't ready to hear anything. Ambarish could have become his guru, but later on he did. He had to go through the hard way. It was hard knocks.
So therefore, it said that verse 325, that for listening to Bhagavatam, this is the association of devotees.
Satam prasangamamabhi or something. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.